In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is the season we try to remember that Jesus spends our entire lifetime refocusing, re-energizing, and reorientating us to align with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to build that healthy relationship between ourselves and Christ on a day-to-day basis. It is not a process that ever ends, but is ever continuing. Let us begin today by establishing this reality. This is not a judgment church. If you're looking for one, I can make a recommendation. This is a church of forgiveness. This is a church of new beginnings. This is an inclusive and embracing community. And that's not up for compromise. Some would say to me, Stephen, get into the depths of John's anger, his frustration with people saying and doing things that are disrespectful and dishonorable. And I need to share with you up front that I'm not prepared to do that because I can go way beyond John. And it's just plain sinful. So I'm not going there. Could. But I'm not going there. Instead, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a few moments to reflect on the rest of the passage. John comes out of the wilderness, and you and I have wilderness experiences on a regular basis. Very seldom do we share with other people when we're in the midst of those. They're often lonely and isolating, frightening and confusing. It's that in-between time where we've been and where we want to go, and we have no idea how to get there. And we are waiting for God to show us the way. And you and I are not a waiting people. We do not enjoy the experience. And we can find everything wrong with the wilderness. But you're in good company. Because when the people were released from bondage, they were taken to the wilderness. And the first thing they said to their leader is, "You brought us out here to die. This is a horrible place. You should have left us where we knew that with 3 square miles a day, we would be beaten beyond recognition. At least we knew what was coming. Now you've taken us into an uncertain time, an unfamiliar time, an uncomfortable place." And we remember that in the wilderness much sin and judgment happened, but it was also a place of rejuvenation, new beginnings, trust and faith in God. And that out of the wilderness they received the promised land experience. And when we're going through our wilderness, when it feels as if when we start crying we never stop, when we start screaming we can't control it, when we go to the depths of the dark places and we can't get out of bed, and we're there for days, when it feels like everything that everybody says to us is intentionally hurtful, these wilderness experiences do not go on forever. We are not stuck in the muck of life. But we need to keep moving, and we need to pass through the experience of the wilderness. We did something profoundly radical before this service. We moved the baptismal font to the entrance, which, by the way, is real Anglican. Yeah. But there's a whole lot of people not happy right now. Because it's always been over there. Let me just say this, that it was moved on purpose to remind us that the baptismal experience is our welcome into the church family. It is our way of being told we can wash away the old and embrace the new. That we can die to the old and start fresh. That God loves us so much, no matter what we've said, done, or thought, that God loves us so much that there is a welcoming into the family and into the community through the baptismal covenant. And then it's a covenant that we try to live all of our lives. Dare I say, we try. Because we are inclined with many mistakes. All of you, I'm sure, have heard the story of the gentleman who said, "Oh God, I just want to thank you that I haven't offended anybody today, that I haven't used your name in vain, that there hasn't been a fight, that there hasn't been a disagreement, that I haven't been abusive verbally or physically today, but now I need to get out of bed." And it's 6 a.m. and I could use some help. That is the reality of our human experience, that we make mistakes, and that we go to God and we apologize for those mistakes, and we ask to be realigned with his meaning and purposes, so that he will walk with us every step of the way. There are some really old words, maybe you heard them way back when we were using the Book of Common Prayer. Those mistakes, those errors, were called way back then a very tiny little word that offends most people's sensibilities today. It's called sin. Here's the truth. Most of us nonstop. If I had to be honest, it would go like this. Good morning.
I'm sorry.
Good morning.
I'm sorry.
Because it's not just what we say and do, it is what we think. It is what we allow our minds to do, to think the worst of others, while we're trying to clean up what's going on inside of ourselves. So here's a suggestion. Spend this season preparing your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit for the celebration of Christmas, and do so with repentance. Acknowledging that you've made a mistake, asking for God's forgiveness, asking for the forgiveness of others, and moving on. Because by holding on to that stuff, the only person you're hurting, really, is you. You're in bondage to your own mistakes. Apologize and move on. Allow God's forgiveness to flow over you like the waters of baptism, for a fresh and clean start in the midst of your experience. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that John had a bit of attitude. First of all, his outfit needed a woman's touch. And it clearly didn't have one. I teased at the Bible studies this week that he was wearing a full-length fur coat, and that he was eating from a highly rich, established, what do they call that? Vegetarian selection. One of the women in the Bible study took me very seriously and said, "Camel's hair ain't comfortable." I didn't ask her how she knew.
I'm sorry.
Repent. Here's the reality of the experience of that man. It's a time of great expectation and anticipation. It is a time of excitement and joy, but it can also be, for many people, an extraordinary time of sorrow, of loss, and of pain. So I'm going to say something that most preachers would not say to you. You really need to be gentle with yourself. Stop beating yourself up. So you made some mistakes. Apologize. Move on. Make a fresh start with God and for others, but don't stay in the midst of that. Move beyond that experience in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now let's move to the next section of the gospel where Jesus is a little bit of a distance away, and John is dealing with a couple of groups of people, and it's the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and they are coming along, and John notices them, and he says what most pastors say when somebody is rude to us. Now, emotional maturity sometimes would help. Because, you know, he had options there, as we have options. And instead he said, when he was thinking, "You brood of vipers." I mean, that's not going to go well at Bulls Sporting, so I promise you. That's not going to go well in an interview. That's certainly not going to go well in an argument with your spouse. But he does it anyway. And what he was naming was their unwillingness to admit they made mistakes. Their unwillingness to be moved beyond, we've always done it this way, even if it hurt people. And the other thing he was calling out was, they were there because he was in the edges of the wilderness. In other words, instead of going to the main city where all the action is, he took everybody to the fringes of the city, into the edge of the wilderness, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He took them to the edge of their experiences, the edge of their comfort zones, and he called them out. He uses a little hyperbole. He takes it to the edge. I don't recommend it. There are moments where people do it to us on purpose. They take us to the edge. They say things they should not say. And we all respond, even though we wish we had simply shut up and walked away. May I dare say to you, my dear friends in Christ, that there will be experiences in the next 4 weeks that you need to and walk away. It may save your job. It may save your marriage. It may save the relationship with the children and your nieces and nephews, and it may even save a relationship with a neighbor or two. Ask yourself 3 questions. Does what I'm about to say need to be said? If I say it, who will it benefit? And who will it harm? Part of our state of repentance is a willingness to change our attitudes and our behaviors. And sometimes that's silence. Understand that I know I'm setting myself up. Because in the next 4 weeks, if I look at you, and I smile, and I walk away, you know what just happened, right? You know, Brother Mark, I've even had people say to me, I know what you're thinking. You were one of them. Worse, he was right. The reality for all of us is that we go through these wilderness experiences and we make our way to the edge of the water. And we are able to feel anew the sprinkle of the water on us, reminding us of our baptismal covenant to follow Jesus Christ and renew our lives every single day. May that be your experience this Advent, that you can live in anticipation and expectation, that you can see that the kingdom of God is at hand, and experience the love, the peace, the joy, and the hope of the season. And that by the time we get to Christmas, you actually want to be there. I say that with the utmost of sincerity, because for some people, this journey towards Christmas, there could be a time of self-preparation and examination, is a time of tremendous frustration. So again, I want to caution you. Be gentle with yourself. Jesus wants you to celebrate the season. Amen.